Game days will never be the same.
Love and broken dreams. And then winding up at a strip mall talking sports. Woo!
With Ozzy the Sports Junkie.
That's only one chainsaw gargling, razor blade eating voice.
And Joe Bucks Fan.
There's going to be a real buzz about this teamer.
A pregame show to pump your Bucks game day to a new level. All season long, Ozzy the Sports Junkie brings you insights and outrage.
You're judged on your performance, and his performance is
crack a cold one and crank it up.
I long for the day when I can smoke my legal weed with my legal hooker on my arm and go down to 7-Eleven and place a three-team parlay on a Saturday afternoon.
Bucks Sundays will never be the same.
I don't know what the problem is, and I don't know how to fix it.
This is Leroy Selman, Buccaneer Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Ozzy the Sports Junkie on
JoeBucksFan.com.
My great friend, Sean Osborne. Shavin is a dear friend, Bucks insider. He's on JoeBucksFan.com. He does a killer radio show. He's insane, completely nuts. He's our Bucks insider. He's on JoeBucksFan.com. He does a, and he's been on his show many times, and he's completely nuts. I have to say, Shavin, I want to start with, just so I was on with you, and I was laughing so hard I couldn't even do the show. When we were, let's just say, drugged up, high, drunk, stealing cars, faking license plates. Listen, here we go.
This is how it goes, Al, and you're listening to Ozzy the Sports Junkie right here on JoeBucksFan.com.
Hi, this is Dave Martinez, and you're listening to Ozzy the Sports Junkie.
JoeBucksFan.com presents with Ozzy the Sports Junkie.
You're into that.
Insight and insanity.
You silly man, hope I never get back in here. I will kick your
all from the mind of Ozzy the Sports Junkie.
Let's get this party started. How you feeling?
What is up, where do you heard Ozzy the Sports Junkie back at the Stately Studios? Sports Junkie Radio Network, and on JoeBucksFan.com. It's good to be back with you people. Game day, Cardinals in Ray J. My God in heaven. Back in the friendly confines of Raymond James Stadium. I forgot what the thing even looked like. Now that's in Florida, right? We're in Tampa. How the hell the Bucks got shafted with the schedule? I mean, and don't tell me it didn't play a part in the play. That team looked tired. Another disappointing ending to, a surprising performance. You know, the Bucks are just that kind of team. So to recap quickly, the Titans game, one of the worst games I've ever seen. How do you lose to a team like that? That team is garbage, and Mike Evans put it best. He goes, I don't mind losing, but I'm sick of effing losing to a team like that we're better than. And that was a hard pill to swallow. And there was some odd things said. Jameis looked horrible. All right, so apparently Coach Arians didn't think so. Byron Leftwich thinks this everything is as peaches and cream. And I guess, you know, he made a comment, Leftwich did. I think both these guys are, their mouths are writing checks that their team can't cash. As I recall, Bucko Bruce said, well, we got that whole pesky pass defense thing straightened out like week two before camp ever even started, as I recall. And then Leftwich comes out after the game in London. It was, he said, well, you know, Jameis's interceptions are very, very fixable and easy. Well, what are you waiting on, coach? The season's half over, and your coaching career could be half over if this thing doesn't turn around. Let me tell you something. It's probably better that the show didn't air last week because I pretty much went off on number three. In my personal opinion, 4 years, 8 games, that's a sample size big enough for me. I don't think they're going to get any further. It's nothing against him personally. Does he get gaudy numbers? Sure. 4 years, 8 games, he has 22 wins. I know it's a team game. I know the offensive line does not protect him well. But when he does get protection, his footwork, he just moves like he's in cement. He makes too many bad decisions with the football. That being said, he looked good against the Seahawks. A fumble that, well, you know, that stuff happens in an NFL game. But I don't know about you, Buck fans. At any point in that 21-7 lead, Were you confident we were going to close that thing out? Because I sure wasn't. Not at all. And here comes the second half, and here comes Russell Wilson, and he showed why he's probably a Hall of Famer. And he just goes right down the field. And ball game. They take it to overtime. And just had to be a long flight home. And you know who had to have the longest of flight homes? He probably had to load all the luggage, because by God, he did everything else. And that's Mike Evans, the all-pro, quickly becoming one of the top five players of Buccaneer history. The game he had on Sunday, he did everything but drive the team bus to and fro out there. And speaking of which, Leo Haggerty, my Bucs insider, was out there in Seattle. And if you had noticed, he was firing away pretty howitzer at Arians, Winston, and the like. I want to tell you that tonight's show is brought to you by Fubo TV. If you're like me, I've had enough of $300 cable TV bills when all you're watching is about five channels. The cable TV industry, I hope they have a nice backup plan, because they're going down, and they're going down fast. About 150 channels of sports TV, and as well as all the other, you know, nuts and bolts of your CNNs and your Foxes and your MSNBCs. You can go crazy all day wanting to impeach or empower whoever you want to. I could care less about any of that. It's a lot of Euro sports, but tons and tons. I think you got all the Fox packages. So Fubo TV, it's $50 a month. You can sign in from wherever you're at. Say you're on the road, you're in a hotel, you're in an airport, you're in the Sports Junkie studios. I took the cable and I literally cut it in half. I said, I love the cable companies. Because in a previous life, I was an electrician. Across the board, I've never met anyone who's happy with their TV, telephone, or internet service. It's too slow. The service sucks. The customer service sucks. The prices suck. Other than that, it's great. And I mean, that's across the board, myself included. So at the Aussie household, we have cut the cable. Internet only. Probably got about 7,000 channels of free TV. And Fubo, for $50 a month, I can sign in, I think, five different accounts. Between that and all the freebies, Roku, another friend of the program, is amazing. They had channels by the day. Most NFL teams have a channel. I'm waiting for the Buccaneers to get their own Roku that just airs and re-airs games, interviews, practices, what have you. So Fubo TV, check them out. Tell them that Ozzy the Sports Junkie sent you, and who knows what might happen. We kind of knew what happened last Sunday. 21-7, Bucks come out, and they pretty much go up and down the field. They get out to a quick lead. You're thinking, here we go. And that's how unpredictable and how aggravating this team is. You know, it seems like about 2 years ago that we, and I say we, the Buccaneers, go out to L.A. and laid 55 on the NFC champions. Now they gave up about 500 yards, and another almost hit 500 yards last Sunday. But it seems like a year ago or more that the Buccaneers got a win out in L.A. and things were looking good. Because it's not looking that great right now. And you get an Arizona team coming in here today that's starting to light it up a little with little Murray at quarterback. Who knows what's going to happen there? As far as the quarterback whisperer thing, I think Arians was defending number three until the season hit at the halfway point. Again, he didn't lose the game in Seattle. That's all on the defense. My only critique of Jameis from last Sunday, I'd like to see him hit more guys in stride. I'd like to see more yards after the catch. Yak, if you will. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers. For the record, I'm not on board giving this guy $30 million. I don't think going to move the team forward any. You can call me what you want, because everybody's got an opinion. Apparently, Jameis on Jameis has an opinion. And that's a guy I've argued with many a times. And if what you're following online is true, that's a bizarre story. I guess it's because we're in Tampa Bay that's not anywhere on the landscape. If that was going on in New England, New York, Dallas, anywhere else. I mean, that's a huge story, but I guess it's not here. I don't know. I listened to the tapes and I listened to the evidence, and it sure as hell sounded legitimate to me. And more than legitimate, just bizarre. You know, you're spending hours and hours a day defending your picks. Look, I've turned the corner a little bit on Jason Light. I'm starting to believe that maybe he just drafts late bloomers, because number three aside, I'm sick of talking about him. He is what he is. He throws a lot of yards. He throws a lot of picks. Period. And his footwork gets slower every day. I could put those lead boots on and run faster. Sure, the offensive line collapses a lot and his pocket disappears. But he doesn't help himself out, Benny, by holding the ball damn too long. But again, I'm not going to waste any more breath, as I'm losing my voice already and we haven't even kicked off yet. Give me a cold beer over here. I'm dying. A little coldy. Oh, it's loud in here. Hey, by the way, I'm going to be in the parking lot. You can follow me at Ozzy Radio, at Ozzy Radio. And I'll be out there early and often, pre and post game, hanging out with you people. So you want a little meet and greet? Hit me up at Ozzy Radio, and I'll come over and tailgate you, maybe interview you, and maybe get your thoughts. Everybody's an expert. I mean, I've known that being in radio for almost 25 years. Buck fans sure are opinionated, aren't we? Everybody's an expert, but nobody gets anything done. I'll tell you what, though. It's all not negativity. I think the defensive line is coming together. Jason Pierre-Paul impresses the shit out of me. This is a guy, he got in a car crash and said, no harm, no foul. Oh, except I broke my neck. Big deal. He's back in it now. I think broken neck is a little extreme way to say a crack, whatever. I'm not a doctor and I don't play one on TV. But he's playing his ass off. And that line was playing well as you can play by letting a team get almost 500 yards every week. Somehow, I just now figured out the quarterback rating that you have to take a weekend class of trigonometry to figure out. Now they have an offensive line ranking where the Bucs are number 8. So all you people say it's the worst line in the history of football. I don't know. You might want to check with the schematics on that. I don't know. I don't know about enough about it to defend it or tout it. But I know this. I've seen worse offensive lines with quarterbacks who did more. I grew up in Chicago until a young teenager watching Walter Payton sure as hell get it done with a porous line. Not the chorus line, you idiot. I said porous line.
This Ozzy, this sports junkie guy, doesn't scare me. I got chunks of guy like that in my stool.
You keep it in your pants, Sinatra. Again, with positivity, Rojo Jones. What the hell took so long to realize this guy's a starter? He looked good on Sunday. I say you give him the pill the rest of the season. Because we are at midseason. I know it feels like it's been a whole season. To me, it has. It just feels like every week they get bashed over the freaking head. We're just at the week 8 mark, and we still got 2 games against Atlanta, which is maybe worse than the Buccaneers this season. That whole staff's getting fired. If I'm Dirk Cutter, I'm not buying anything permanently. Just rent by the month, Dirk. How hilarious would it be if the inevitable happens, 3 gets shown the door at the end of the season, Dirk Cutter, he'll be gone in Atlanta. And let's just say wherever Cutter lines on his feet, and there's Winston shows up. Hey, coach! Oh, not Winston! Oh, for God's sakes. So maybe he wasn't the offensive genius proposed to be. And I'm starting to think, you know, Arians made some very bizarre comments following not only the week before, but last Sunday. To not delve too far back. I made some comments like, you know, games like the Tennessee game or games that get coaches fired. Well, you're pretty much telling on yourself then, coach. You're in charge of this squad. And then he made an odd comment regarding my wife was really pushing me towards this job anyways. Maybe retirement wasn't bad. Look, that's a sign of a pissed off guy. He's not going to fold his hand on number 3 before the halfway season mark, which we're officially at. Then his quarterback whisperer tag on his resume is then lifted. He's a competitive guy. He's a hard-ass football coach, and he's not going to go down one and done in Tampa Bay. You know, my buddy and all-around masshole, Doug Fernandez, wrote a great piece in last week's Sarasota Herald that Tampa Bay's a black hole for coaches, and it's hard to argue. If you look in the past, the only 2 guys that ever came here who didn't seep into the abyss would be Dungy and Gruden. So he's not going to let it. It's not going to be one and done. I think they go out and they get a veteran next year, and I would take Cam Newton. Call me crazy, but I can promise you this, Buck fans. You can call me crazy, but mark my words, he'll be on the Steelers, he'll be on the Bears, or he'll be on the Broncos. And from where I'm standing, those teams are generally competing for playoffs, and we're not. And every time a player comes available and anybody makes suggestion, why don't we get him? You're quickly shot down with, you're an idiot, shut up, sit down, we'll tell you what to think. This offense is about peaked out. I don't know. If Jason Light was being cute, maybe he just got off his Twitter trolling for the day. I'm not sure of that. I'll retract that statement. Maybe Light was being cute when he said, before training camp or mid-training camp, he made the statement that not only was last year's 5-11 Buccaneer, 5-11 Buccaneer team, one of the greatest offenses in team history, He said he puts it up there with some of the greatest in the NFL history. I mean, to say that with a straight face, you got to almost question the guy. You got to question what the hell has he been drinking all morning? Don't give me these overinflated numbers for number three. Those numbers aren't equating to wins. And in the oldest expression in the book, you can't fire the teams, you fire the coach. Well, we've fired coaches. Three is on his third set of coaches. So maybe it's not all the coaching. Maybe it's the pieces on the field. You have the perfect record player, and the album has a skip in it. Well, it's not the record's fault. It's not the needle's fault. But it's time to put a new record on, Tampa Bay. Let's change the record. And maybe we'll change our winning record as far as wins and losses, because you can give me all the bullshit numbers you want about yards and the best quarterback in team history and a ticket in for Canton. He's won 22 games in 4 years and 8 games, and that ain't getting it done. And you spend $30 million on this guy for one more year of what? What if we're having this conversation next year? Then what do? I think Arians wants his own guy. Generally, a head coach comes in, it's the first thing you do is bring in your own guy. I think there's some veterans out there that could help immediately, and there's obviously some guys in college that could help immediately as well. That's how I see that. And if you disagree with me, OzzyRadio.com or comment below. You people love to do that, and God bless you, and that's why we love Joe Bucks Fan and forums like this where you can get on there. And everybody's got an opinion, man. But I'll tell you, it's getting frustrating, and it test your fanhood to this team in particular and any team week in and week out and expect to see something different, and every week you pretty much see what you expected. And like I mentioned, 21-7 last week, not a second was I breathing easy in that. And when they lost the flip, I said the game's over. How about Devin White? He's a guy who started out slow. I was cracking him pretty heavy. How about the play he makes where he goes behind the line of scrimmage, goes down, catches the running back. He didn't hit him if he didn't hit the ball, he'd have broken the guy's arm in half. He hit him like Thor's hammer. You talk about quick. So, again, another Jason Light pick that's come around. Vita Vey is playing like the Tasmanian devil. I like him more every week. He puts a quarterback on the ground that stares at him. We haven't seen that here since Warren Sapp. This team was built on defense because in the thinnest of years, when a young Ozzy the Sports Junkie would sit in the stands of the old Sombrero in 84, 85, through the 90s, they sucked, but they had hammers over the middle. They always had a hard-hitting defense. And again, I mentioned in last week's show, if you didn't hear it, I don't know exactly when we, as Buccaneer fans, became elitist, but I guess we just expect to win all the time now. It harkens me to my childhood baseball team, the Cubs, who just let Joe Maddon go, claiming we need to live up to the high standards of our fans. You sucked for 120 years, and the guy who just got you to the mountaintop, you just let walk. I'm not going to question your judgment, but you don't know what you're doing. We've been to the mountaintop, but we've been under the mountain more than to the top, but it doesn't mean we can't get back there. And I guess that's what, as fans, we just want to see competitiveness. We saw it last Sunday, albeit ugly. Got an uglier game. The Seattle game was an entertaining one. The game in Tennessee set the game of football back about 30 years. Because I would sooner break out my electric football set where they just square dance with a foam football than see that again. That was ugly, but that is also in the past. The Cardinals come calling today with the Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, once again proving I shouldn't be in charge of NFL personnel. I didn't think Lamar Jackson would be any good. I didn't think Deshaun Watson would transfer to the next level. And I really didn't think this little guy out of Oklahoma was going to be the little water bug scatting all over the field and tossing the pill. He's got a dynamite arm as well. And that could spell trouble for a Bucs defense. Let's face it. They've been assaulted. Assault is too nice of a word. They've been bludgeoned, if not gang raped. And Todd Bowles, I don't know what you can do at this point, but try to do something. Maybe drop the linebackers back. How about putting 8 defensive guys back there? How about we go with a 3? We'll go with a 3-0-7 defense. I'll tell you what, I do like the 3-4 defense, though. I think it lends itself to a lot of teeners, i.e. Shaq Barrett, i.e. Carl Nassib, guys who a little big for a linebacker, a little too small for a lineman, but guys like that can get in and get to the quarterback. And they're not putting up the sacks. Well, Barrett sure as hell is and was. Obviously, he couldn't stay on that pace the entire season. Be interesting to see what kind of contract he gets at season's end as he's on a one-year deal. So other things to point out on the plus side, I think the kicking game is looking good. I think Matt Gay, he's the guy. The kicking riddle is solved. Again, that was a big monkey and a big burden and a big laughing point for Jason Light. Hey, that one took 5 years, but it's solved. Matt Gay's a kicker moving forward, period, end of story. We saw it firsthand on Sunday as Seattle could have won the game easily if they could get the ball through the uprights. So it's kind of nice to see somebody else miss some kicks every once in a while. And how classic is it to see the Patriots struggling in their kicking game and signing nothing but old Buccaneers? Because as I said to my, once again, masshole buddy, Doug Fernandes, at D Fern Sports on Twitter, let him hear you, people. He comes in heavy. He comes in hard, but he's coming in real about Buccaneer football because, well, he was front and center for it for a good 20 years. So gives him the right to call a spade a spade and a shitty team a shitty team. And that's what's frustrating. In the past, the Sam Weiss, the Lehman Bennett's, the Ray Perkins, the Richard Williams, we knew those teams sucked. Yeah, we had some draft picks on the team. We knew the team wasn't going to do anything. So it wasn't a shock when they went to. No one cared, really, because no one had any expectations. One of the highest-paid teams in football, they're always spending a lot of money in free agency. But it's like we've become the Cleveland Browns. Everything they do is wrong. Every pick is wrong. Every hire is wrong. And I don't mean to paint with a negative stroke because I'm the biggest Buck fan of all of you. But give me something to build on, man. How about building on kicking the Cardinals' ass all over the stadium? Funny story, if you see me or want to hang out at Aussie Radio, hit me up, man. I'll be walking around pregame and postgame. I'll come over and have a beer, see what's going on. But the first question you will say is, why is your daughter head to toe in Cardinal gear? She's a gigantic Cardinal fan. The little junkie who's been my cohort, my sidekick, my original co-host almost 15 years ago or so. She's about to hit 21. I said, perfect timing. Bucks are in Vegas next year. You're going. So she became a Cardinals fan after the Steelers-Cardinals Super Bowl when we were up there for the entire week and didn't see one Cardinal fan, not one Cardinal item, not one Cardinal. I don't think they even put their name on most of the merch. It's bizarre. People don't realize, you know, that the Cardinals were one of the first franchises. They go back to the start of the NFL. They were in Chicago in the 20s. And here's where it gets really weird, though. The Cardinals started in the 20s along with the Bears. They haven't had their own stadium. Are you ready? 87 years it took for them. They played at Comiskey. They played at Wrigley for a while. Then they moved to St. Louis playing in Busch Stadium, none of which was their own field. Then they went to the University of Arizona, not their home stadium. It wasn't until, I believe, 2010, was it? When that dome was built out in Glendale, that they finally had a place to call their own, which is, it's just bizarre. So the Cardinals come in 3-5 in the dreaded one, the tie. You got to do something about that. How do you have ties? Ties only worked in the old NHL. You know, baseball over, you can pay a little more attention to hockey now. They can push back hockey about a month because it overlaps baseball and I can't really concentrate on watching my Lightning. Like I mentioned, Kyler Murray, the rookie number one pick out of Oklahoma, sitting at 2,200 yards, 9 touchdowns, 4 picks. Getting it done on the ground and through the air, as Don Coryell would be happy to be back in charge of this Cardinals. And how about the ageless wonder, Larry Fitzgerald, who almost damn near won a Super Bowl, should have won a Super Bowl at Ray J. Woe those many years ago, until a Bruce Arian offensive coordinated coach Pittsburgh Steelers team thwarted victory and snatched it as a last corner touchdown pass to Santonio Holmes, won it. The Cardinals come in averaging 21 points per game, Buccaneers 28. Again, I'm almost tired of statistics. Tell me something when you start winning games, and I'm not seeing either. Coming off two straight losses, that New Orleans before that, Buccaneers, obviously, four in a row in the L column. They got to get a win, and let me tell you something. I go back a few years with this squad, and I was there in the old sombrero when people had had enough of Sam Weish. Before that, they had enough of Ray Perkins and Vinny and Dilfer. You didn't see it much. Rah, rah. Hell, he had a 10-6 season. They should have hoisted him off the field on their shoulders. If anybody ought to get a statue, it's Raheem Morris, for Christ's sakes. I mean, that's the best season since they won the Super Bowl. But I digress. A bad showing today at Ray J. I don't want to see it. I want to see a win. I want to see that go out there and light it up, man. And I'll tell you another thing. If somebody's due for a $25, $30 million pay bump on that offense, it's not the quarterback. It's Mike Evans. This guy did everything but drive the team bus last Sunday. And he's falling down, going against the grain, going into the head first into the stands, overthrowing, underthrowing. And he adjusts and he makes catches. You can only imagine if he had a quarterback who could hit him in stride. He's already a top three receiver in the NFL. He'd be the top receiver. He'd be a household name. And guys like him, you really got a feel for. At Ozzie Radio, tweet at me. I'll come over and hang out with you in the parking lot. Or just tweet at me in general. Sports Junkie Radio Network. Go to the website. It's my regular show will appear in podcast form on a plethora of SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Play. All the big boys have it. I am reworking the website. And it'll be 24/7. And a lot of chances for you Buccaneer fans out there to not only be heard. You think you know it all, tough guy? Hey, I'll give you your own hour. You come down to Sarasota and you get your own hour. How you like that? How about this, Jameis on Jameis? You come down, you prove you're not the general manager, and I'll give you your own three-hour show. One day, 3 hours. You wrote a 450-page book. How about you just do this? You'll just read the book on air. That'd be classic radio. All right, again, today's show brought to you by Fubo TV. Call your cable company and say, you know something? Come get this piece of shit box because it's out in the yard. I'm not paying $300 for 18, 20 channels of religious, C-SPAN 7, 48 home shopping clubs. I want sports. I want good movies, quality programming, which I'm not getting from you. And how about this? So I cut the cable, right? And it's used to be Comcast. And it's another thing. They don't change the service. They change the name. That's like you own a shitty bar. Bob's Bar and Grill. The service sucks. The food's terrible. All right, well, change it to Fred's Bar and Grill now. The same service and the same food. You just change the name. And that's what cable companies do. Every 15 minutes, the name changes. Service doesn't change. The name changes. Fubo TV. Tell them to go Fubo themselves. And tell them Ozzie the Sports Junkie sent you. And SkullJewelry.com. You want to game up? You want to look cool without breaking the bank? Go to SkullJewelry.com. Stainless steel, baby. All right, on the other side of this break, Leo Haggerty was out in Seattle. He saw it. He fired away. I got to hand it to my boy Leo. He gets his money's worth, even if he's sitting in the press box. A minimum of about 5 questions at Roto Machine Gun Rapid Fire. At Arians, at the quarterback, and anybody else. He wants answers, and he gets them. Leo Haggerty after this on the Joe Box Fan Podcast. Ozzie the Sports Junkie back after this.
I mean, it's so rude. I can't believe it. It's so goddamn rude.
Loud Leo Haggerty from It Sports Magazine joining me. It was a little bit quiet there in the first half, though. Our Buccaneers build a 21-7 lead. I didn't feel comfortable at any time, Leo. The pass defense is just non-existent, man. They're not letting up any run because the other team, quite frankly, isn't running the ball, Leo. What is it? What does Todd Bowles do with this pass defense moving forward?
You know what, Oz? The hardest thing they got is there was one time you looked out there and there were 6 rookies in the game. Yeah. They had 3 rookies playing in the secondary. You're just not going to win in the NFL like that.
I understand that there's guys injured, and on the offensive side of the ball, too. Why is Perryman on the field so much? Arguably the best two receiving core in the NFL,
in Godwin and Evans. And I'll tell you what, Mike Evans did everything but drive the freaking team bus on Sunday, man. He caught every pass thrown his way. He went headfirst into the bleachers on a couple long balls. Then to top it all, that fumbled ball, he runs and chases the guy down that would have ended the ball game. I heard your question. You fired off to Arians right away. You said, you know, if Evans doesn't make that stop, we're not having this conversation. What a game by Mike Evans.
You know what? What I like about it is we're not seeing the offensive pass interference penalties anymore, which is great. I mean, Evans is going down the field, and, you know, let's give Jameis Winston some credit here. He's finally figured out that Evans is 6'5".
Right.
And go get it. Throw it up high. And he's thrown it up high, and the defensive back just can't get it. It's just that simple. They're not tall enough. And, you know, they had their best defensive back on Evans the whole game. Gilmore, he chewed him up and spit him out. It was just, I couldn't understand Seattle's philosophy on defense. They're going to single cover the best receiver the Bucs have. You got to take him away. You got to take him away. And I tell you what, you know, you look at what the Bucs get a cornerback hurt in warmups. He can't go. And now all of a sudden you're asking Jamal Neal, who is not even expecting to get off the bench, hey, buddy, you're going to take some major snaps. And they're into overtime. Now, I'm going to get on my high horse here if it's okay with you.
Lay it on me, buddy.
The NFL has got to change the overtime rule. The fact that the Bucs didn't touch the ball, and I said to the person sitting next to me, I said, whoever wins this toss is going to win the game because the defense is spent.
Yeah.
Both of them are done.
Absolutely.
So they either got to go to two things. They either got to go to a 10-minute quarter, which I'm kind of thinking, no, I think they should go to a modified college, what they do. But don't start at the 25-yard line. Start at your own 40. That way you got to get a first down and maybe two to get a field goal. And then just go back and forth until you get a winner.
Leo Haggerty joins me from It Sports Magazine. He was out in the Pacific Northwest for the Buccaneer. Well, a disappointing game. I mean, coming off of that ugly game in Tennessee, we haven't spoken blatantly like that. He said, I'm sick of fucking losing, and I don't mind losing to a good team. We're better than that team. And there's no question they're better than player for player. They should have been favored by double digits over Tennessee.
Let's go back to the Tennessee on the fumble for the fake field goal. This is a whole different dynamic. They win the football game.
Right.
But no doubt. And, I think Arians got fined for what he said because – and again, I'll give you, I'm sitting there, and he said, basically, coaches get fired, GMs get fired, players get cut, but nothing happens to officials. There's no credibility. He said, for 40 years, it's been like that. We just signed a new agreement, so it's going to be for 40 more. And I'll tell you what, if he's wrong, tell me where he's wrong.
Right.
The big thing was they told him, and then this happened to the Buccaneers earlier. On a punt with New Orleans, that they blew the whistle early, and the league came out and said, hold your whistle until you are 100% sure that ball carrier is down with the football. Bottom line, they didn't do it. Now, in Seattle, I tell you what, if the Bucs don't take the ball right in the kickoff, they're crazy, because that's what happened. They got the kickoff, went up 7-0. And, boy, I'll tell you, Winston got into a groove right from that first drive. And what I liked about what I saw with the Bucs, there's not a whole lot of things that you can sit there and say, you know, they needed to do this different, they needed to do that different. But they played about as well. And again, as I said to Peter Blake on our pregame show, when I called in from Seattle, I said, I really feel bad about this pick. I think the Bucs are going to play well enough to lose.
Yeah.
And it's, Russell Wilson.
That's what's so aggravating about it. They.
Yeah, and I don't know if...
Go ahead.
Yeah, and if I don't know if this came back down at your end of the state, but there was a lot of media members questioning, you know, Arians for not going for the win and going for two on the last drive, and I thought that obviously these people have never coached in their life. Because with 46 seconds to go, It's risk-reward. If you don't kick that point, they're going to go down anyway with 46 seconds, and they're going to get at least a field goal shot. So kicking the point was immaterial. What you needed to do was try to get the game to overtime, and that's what happened. The guy missed the field goal. It got into overtime, and now I've been on my soapbox. The NFL's got to change that overtime rule.
I'm with you. I'm exactly with you. I'm glad they tweaked it a little bit. It used to be a joke whoever won the toss went on the field and got the kick and won the game. So hopefully, you know, with the constant tweaking of the game, maybe they'll come up with some a little more exciting and a little fair. I guess it's both teams get to touch the ball in the case unless a touchdown scored, and that's what we saw in that Bucs game. It was discouraging. It was disheartening, but it sure wasn't shocking to me because I saw it coming. I smelled it coming, Leo. 21-7, I wasn't happy. I said somehow they're going to get back in the game. And that pass defense, like you said, Dean came in. He made in a couple of nice stops, but he was looked like a babe in the woods out there. Sean Bunting Jr., whoever. I don't know how he made this team. He had a horrible preseason. And then did you hear after the game, he's running his mouth off saying, boy, I wish we had a quarterback like Russell Wilson to play for. We'd win more games. The Seahawks took it right into the locker room, and it went right across the thing. Boy, what a bonehead move. You know, Leo, in past, we've had some horrible teams there in Tampa Bay. But we knew what we were getting.
Oh, yeah.
We knew what we were getting going into the season with a Sam Weish team or a Lehman Bennett team or a Richard Williamson team or with Shiano or Raheem. This is one of the highest-paid teams in football. We got allegedly one of the greatest coaches in football, a lot of high draft picks, maybe the best receiver in the NFL. Why are we getting our asses handed to us every Sunday?
Well, you know what, Oz? I said that if this team, after the Arizona game, was 4-5,
yes,
I'd be happy with it. Because this tour they had to go on, and I called it the NFL banishment tour.
Oh, it's bad.
Whoever decided this, it's ludicrous. It's absurd. I just don't understand what the NFL was thinking. They said, oh, you had a home game. Yeah, the home game was in London. They had to go to Los Angeles.
Sure.
Right? Okay.
I think it's 25,000 miles. 25,000 miles ended right when the plane hit the tarmac in Tampa last Sunday night.
And you know what, Oz? This was a mentally tired football team. And you can see it, especially Tennessee. They were misaligned on defense. They were making mistakes, snapping the ball when the quarterback wasn't expecting it. And again, they cleaned those up out in Seattle. And God love them. They fought. They got to overtime. But they're not happy about it. And you know, Arians is the first one to say that.
Well, he's cheating. You know, getting a little chippy. I mean, he was chippy in that post game in Carolina. He says, don't blame that on our quarterback. I couldn't disagree more than everything was the – what you throw your only all-pro on the team and Mike Evans under the bus. I didn't like that at all. And let's just, you know – The Winston thing has been pounded into the ground and pounded into the ground. He makes a great throw. He'll make a bad throw. I thought he didn't. I'd like to see more guys hit in stride, Leo, where you can advance the ball instead of guys falling to the ground making catches. That's a critique I have. And I think his footwork is atrocious. I think he got sacked so much because he can't move in the pocket. Sure, the pocket's not that great. But they had him in the top 10. I don't know if this is a new stat. They had the offensive line rankings. I don't know how exactly what pinhead came up with that philosophy, but they had him as number 8 in the NFL. So sure that he's getting battered and abused back there. I think he could help himself out a little bit with some footwork. I don't know how you can teach that 5 years in. That decision will be made by itself. I thought Arians was very telling when he said about 3 weeks ago, he said, when the Glazers asked me at the end of the year to evaluate, I'm not going to lie to them. So I think he was he was holding his cards to his chest, Leo, because he was brought in here to be the quarterback whisperer. The season wasn't even half over. It's officially half over now. And I think if you see a few more learning curve Sundays, just like a hockey goalie, they're just going to pull him out of the game and put the other – but we'll see whoever goes out there. And, you know, it was on Joe Bucks Fan. Lee had a great piece. At this point, you either bench him or you resign him. Because other than that, you're wasting –
You think they're going to just play out the string, Oz, and let's see after 16 games. But I'll tell you what, there will definitely be a decision made after 16 games. as what they do with Winston.
Yeah, and I don't want to hear there's going to be one more year. And to franchise him and to give him one another look, I think that wastes everyone's time, because I think we've seen enough. In 5 years, you've seen that's a big enough sample size than anyone ever gets.
Well, you know what, Oz? Here's the problem. He's on his third head coach. He's on his third offense, really his fourth, because one came in and didn't even know what they were doing.
Well, why is so, that? Then? If he was any good, they'd be on their first, still on their first coach. I don't understand that one.
Exactly. And again, the biggest mistake the Bucks made, and I'll go back to this, is they panicked when Dirk Cutter supposedly was getting a head job somewhere else. I just said, okay, Dirk, good luck. See what happens. And they fired Lovie. And Lovie did exactly what he was supposed to do, and that was lose the last couple games so they could get Winston in the first pick.
Right.
And then Lovie, you know, and Jason Light said, Lovie, you need to come in for the press conference. He said, I'm not coming in to get fired. And Jason said, well, you need to come in. And then Lovie says, hey, not a chance. I did exactly what you wanted me to do. And they're saying, we didn't want to lose Dirk because we didn't want to retard Winston's growth. And the problem is, it did. And it just, it's crazy. I think the Bucks are in the same situation as Cam Newton up in Carolina. You know, Newton's with an injury. Winston is just, is he that good? And the problem is, you know, what's on the horizon?
Right.
What looks better? If you franchise him, it's going to cost you $30
million. Yeah, and it's...
If you re-sign him, it's going to be a lot of money.
A lot of money, and, it, you know, if they keep saying everyone's an equal part on that offensive side of the ball. Well, if he's just as equal as the tackle, the guard, of the backup running back, then why is he getting three times... If anybody's going to get 30, of course it's not going to happen. Mike Evans deserves about $40 million, the way he's played this year. I just can't see giving... I cannot see giving Winston $30 million, and we're still having this conversation a year from right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I've given him every chance. Let me throw one at you. I think the Bucks need to turn the... It's like a record. You got a beautiful Frank Sinatra record, Leo, but it's got a skip in it. And that song just keeps skipping and skipping and skipping. Eventually, you got to go get the new record, don't you?
Yeah, but you got to decide. And again, I said this. If we get the good Winston for a game, you're in it. You got a chance, and you probably will win it. If you get the bad Winston, you don't have a prayer. It's not going to happen.
Well, isn't that the difference?
Mean,
the good Jamarcus Russell, you take you to the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the difference between and a great quarterback. I not every quarterback, you know this. You know this way more than I do. Not every top draft pick is a star. Sometimes you just got to cut your losses.
Right.
And that leads to this, and I'm not going to go into it too deep, but it comes out last week that there's a phony Twitter account. But from where I was sitting, the evidence was presented to me online, it sure as hell sounds like it's Jason Light. And if it's just some kind of an inside joke, I think it makes the Buccaneers look very petty and kind of amateurish to have your GM out there defending his pick and with a phony account. And I think it's just kind of childish. I'll tell you, if it was
winning,
never.
And that's the thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's
clown show.
And this team is 2-6. And there's bigger fish to fry than that.
Absolutely.
Because let's be honest, Jason Light is out on the limb here with Bruce Arians because he brought him in. And again, I'm looking at this, and I think it's going to be Arians' choice whether he stays. The Bucks aren't going to fire him.
Right.
I mean, he's got the best deal in terms of. He's going to make decisions. He's going to come up at the end of the season. He's going to sit down and say, okay. And right now, to be honest with you, I think they cut him. Only because of the money situation. I don't think he has proven that he's worth a long-term big money contract right now.
I don't either.
I'm hoping after eight games that I can sit here and say, you know what, I'm wrong.
Well, I didn't think he had. He played the stretch out last year after he was benched twice. He didn't throw the interceptions, but I think he was afraid of his own shadow. He overthrew, underthrew. He was so afraid to throw picks that he didn't. They sure as hell didn't win any games. The bottom line of two is the bottom line in the NFL is wins. 5 years, 8 games. 4 years, 8 games, Leo. He's got 22 wins. That's not going to get it done. And it may not all be his fault, but it's, guess what? It's not working. Let's put a new piece in this engine and see how she runs with a new carburetor. He's a nice guy. Yeah, he's a nice kid. He never robbed a freight train. It's nothing against him personally. It's not working. They're not progressing as a football team. And I'll tell you what, apathy is set in. And good. How do you sell season tickets next year with Winston moving forward if they go another 5-11? You wouldn't sell one damn ticket.
Yeah, you're right. And they can't go 5-11. They've got to go at worst 7-9. At worst.
Okay.
You got Atlanta twice. You got the Cardinals Sunday. So that gets you to 5. You got to find 2 more wins.
Let's look at it then.
And you just got to find them.
They take on the Cardinals tomorrow. A Cardinal team that started with Murray, the Heisman at quarterback, once again proving why I am not a scout, because I didn't see him be an NFL star. Boy, he's not a star yet, but he sure is playing his better and better every week. They're going to have their hands full tomorrow. The Cardinals are no joke, and they'd love nothing more than to come in here and put a little slap in the face of former head Redbird Bruce Arians. So no easy pass tomorrow. And let me ask you this, Leo.
Yeah.
This current regime and Jameis, they've never had a Testa Verde-like day, a Josh Freeman-like day, a Trent Dilfer-like day, which I've been at that stadium, the old one and new one, where these fans turn on you. And I'm telling you right now, tomorrow, if it gets ugly, and I don't want it to, I'll be there. It's going to get ugly. If the bad picks, there's no more. The gloves are off with the quarterback, the gloves are off with the coach, the gloves are off with the team, and I've seen it firsthand, and it could rear its ugly head tomorrow.
And you know what, Oz? The one thing I saw that was good, and I don't know if you can remember this, but on the second touchdown drive, they had a 1st and 10 out around midfield.
Yes.
And they ran a screen pass, and Jones was covered, and Winston threw it in the dirt. I asked Arians afterwards, I said, hey,
I heard that.
Is your quarterback showing some maturity there? He said, absolutely. He's doing what we need to do. He throws that away and he fights in another play.
I think Arians,
and that's what needed to happen.
I think he made a big mistake coming in here, kind of a la Buddy Ryan, kind of boasting his chest out, saying it's a new winner in town. His mouth wrote some checks that his team or coaching could not cash. He says on week 2 before their first practice, we straighten out that little pass defensive trouble. We're all good moving forward. He says, I guarantee that, Rojo remains to be seen, but he's playing well, and he's playing better and better. But he says that Winston, there's no question he's our quarterback moving forward. There's no question he's going to be a Hall of Fame. He's not getting it done, and he's not progressing. And I think he really kind of went out on a limb there, and I know he was hired to bring this guy. I think he would like nothing more than to bring in a veteran for next year and draft a rookie and have two guys to work with moving forward. Because you know as well as I do, Arians is a competitor. He's a hard ass. He's a football guy. He's not going to go one and done with and end his coaching career with this stinker on his resume.
Oh, absolutely. He's around. If he goes out, he'll go out 10-6. He's not going out 6-10.
Absolutely.
You're exactly
and they were throwing
right.
it around there. And I didn't like him saying either. You know, I didn't. Maybe I shouldn't have got back into coaching. You know, maybe sitting on the couch wasn't that bad. He kind of. And that story kind of ran a little bit that his wife was more involved in coming to Tampa than he was. I'm not buying any of that. Coaches coach.
No.
Coaches have a record at the end of their career, and he's not going to go out on a sour note. But that being said, Leo, hey, it's week 8. They get a win tomorrow. They, like you said, they got 2 games against an Atlanta team that's worse than we are, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
The roof's not caving in yet, but it's looking a little sketchy.
And I don't
game days will never be the same.
Love and broken dreams. And then winding up at a strip mall talking sports. Whoa!
With Ozzy the Sports Junkie.
That's only one chainsaw gargling, razor blade eating voice.
And Joe Bucks Fan.
There's going to be a real buzz about this, Deemer.
A pregame show to pump your Bucks game day to a new level. All season long, Ozzy the Sports Junkie brings you insights and outrage.
You're judged on your performance, and his performance is shit.
Crack a cold one and crank it up.
I long for the day when I can smoke my legal weed with my legal hooker on my arm and go down to 7-Eleven and place a three-team parlay on a Saturday afternoon.
Buck Sundays will never be the same.
I don't know what the problem is, and I don't know how to fix it.